A Fleck of Green. Written by Scribe and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, the great god Pan. I am taking on an unusual bit of work, finishing a portrait another artist has left undone. You will swear I should pluck all my brushes down to nubs before debasing myself like this, but you, my dear, are not ever short of funds. In any case, it should be a challenge to my formal skills, for the incomplete piece I've inherited is already quite striking. My predecessor here is one Arthur Merrick, a gentleman recently deceased. I'm told he died in Buenos Aires. I am sure if I could travel to such places, I would live forever and ever to better enjoy it. But you have told me that most people do not have my stamina. In any case, I do not think Mr. Merrick ever planned to return, for my client, Mrs. Beaumont, has given me his papers along with his canvas. He has several sketches of her in possible poses, but the work was evidently frustrating him. "Leave it, just leave it," he scrawled several times. "For God's sake, stop looking." He seemed to have some special trouble with her eyes, which of course must be right or the whole likeness is ruined. I find Mrs. Beaumont a portraitist's dream, for she makes no objection to holding her pose for hours on end. Her stillness at such times is so profound you would think her sculpted out of marble. I want to smile, to emboss my laughter at myself into this very letter, so you will know I understand how silly I sound, so misled by a Grecian profile. But I cannot reassure you. May I risk spoiling the whole tenor of our correspondence? This morning I was truly frightened at how still she was. I have sharp eyes, and she had all my attention, but I could not even see her breathe. I was very forward and came up and touched her, just to know that she was still warm flesh and not cold ancient stone. Yes, she was warm. I should say hot, as though her blood were close to her skin. Did you know that some bodies have a kind of natural perfume to them? I breathed in her scent, and it was stronger than the stink of paint on my hands and apron. She smelt of grass and fallen fruit rotting on the ground. "Are you finished?" Mrs. Beaumont said to me, as casually as though I did not have my hand on the side of her throat. Her heartbeat never quickened. I retreated behind my canvas. "No," I said, "and I never will be, if I keep on being so foolish." I searched for an excuse and told her it was harder than I'd expected to carry on another artist's work. "Would it," I ventured, "in truth, be faster if I started afresh?" "Oh, no one will ever get done at that rate," Mrs. Beaumont said, with one of the sparkling laughs she is well known for. All at once I felt better. I am Merrick the Second, I'm afraid, for I cannot seem to finish. I have it all but her eyes. Her gaze is impossible. She generously allows me to fill my useless hours with sketches, and she has shown me such poses as I will never forget. In your letter of the 23rd, you asked if I wished you to come. I know I could obtain Mrs. Beaumont's permission for such a visit, as there are always people about. As good a memory for faces as I have always had, I confess I cannot keep them straight. They change when you are not looking at them. For God's sake, Daisy, stay away. Burn any letters I ever send you that say otherwise. I have painted her eyes. It is done. But is a thing done badly ever truly finished? I have gone over her portrait again and again, trying to understand what I have made. I do not remember this last part. It was all finished in a haze, with the smell of grass and figs and smoke. There is a fleck in her right eye. So infinitesimal I must have used only a single hair of my brush to paint it. It is not shapeless. I swear there is a form to it, but I cannot see what it is. It is the color that troubles me most. If it were white or yellow, I could believe it the reflection of the light. If it were red, it could be a stray drop of blood and an accident, for I have done myself several small injuries of late. But it is green, a rich living green. I see it now, Daisy. I have used a magnifying glass and several lamps, and I have seen what I painted while I listened to the flutes. Have I told you about the music? It is everywhere now. The green shape is the silhouette of a man, but it is not an ordinary man, though I cannot tell you exactly how his form is different from what is human. I can only say that from where Mrs. Beaumont's gaze goes in her picture, he must have been standing behind me all the while I painted. I can feel it now, how his hot breath stirred my hair. It is no use arguing with me, my love. I will not hear your assurances in time. I know he was there. I know he is there still. I am beginning to see him, indistinct but close, like a smudge on the glass I once thought was the world. My hand painted what my reason could not comprehend. For God's sake, stop looking, Mr. Meyrick wrote, and he was right. I should have listened. But you know I never used to tire, how I would always pursue things. I am very tired now. At least the portrait is finished. It is my damnation, but it is the best work I have ever done. I am going out to the garden. There are hollyhocks there. If I breathe in the night air and catch their scent, I will leave and go home and try to believe all this is overwork. If it is rotten fruit and animal hair and stone and flesh, I have made a rope of my bedsheets to do what must be done. I think I know which it will be. The end.